year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, that your word is, well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And your word speaks to us the truth that is Jesus. It gives to us the life that is Jesus. Father, it shows us the way that Jesus opened for us, Lord, and made available to us. Help us always, Lord, to receive your word and your will in obedience, in hearing it clearly, Father, and hearing it with a purpose and an intent, Lord, to serve and obey that word and will. Bless us tonight, Father, as we consider this, and help us to apply that to our own lives, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Just putting a rather fine point on it this evening, as I've prepared this lesson, I've considered more and more the truth that I've come to find over the course of, 40 years plus of being a believer, is the understanding that God's will and his word that presents his will to us, they're not for the faint of heart. The word of God is not for the faint of heart. Now, you might say, well, no, the word of God that presents Jesus and salvation is exactly for the faint of heart because it presents Jesus to them and saves that one. Well, there's a heart that's placed into that person to receive the word of God. So I won't go into the weeds in that, but as far as fear goes and as far as trepidation goes and all of those things, the word of God is something that we cannot approach with the fear that oftentimes comes with it, with the trepidation that oftentimes accompanies it as we consider it. Paul didn't sugarcoat it. Let me grab my magic clicker here. Paul didn't sugarcoat it in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 when he speaks of the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, being conformed to his death, when he tells us that we can be joint heirs with Christ, if so be that, well, if we suffer, if you get right down to it, we understand that. He and Barnabas were speaking to the saints in Asia in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 when he was talking about while they were there, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And how did he exhort them? By telling them a very straightforward truth. We must, through many tribulations, afflictions, difficulties, that's what that word tribulations means, even anguishes if you want to use that term. We must, through many of these, enter the kingdom of God. Difficulty is just a part of it. We understand this. I preach it oftentimes, the reality of suffering, the reality of difficulties. A number of different pastors, preachers, evangelists will tell you that difficulty is just a part of the Christian experience. It is what it is. And so just so, the word and the will of God, as you take this difficulty to be a part of that, as he offers those difficulties, those tribulations to you. The word and the will of God are not for the faint of heart. If you're going to faint in a difficult situation, well, then you're going to be struggling with the word of God. Now here we read in this 28th chapter, just to give you the context of what we're looking at, is Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon, or took over from his father shortly after securing Jerusalem, I believe. Nebuchadnezzar had come with the armies of Babylon. Jerusalem had been invaded. Those ones had been taken from it. A puppet of a king was placed there in Zedekiah, who answered to Nebuchadnezzar to an extent. He rebelled against him in some time, but we won't get into that. But all of these things took place in the Babylonian captivity. If you're not familiar with it, read about it and find out that history of Judah and what the Lord did in that. But that took place, and the onset was there. Shortly before our account opens up here. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus, he was part of it. I do that oftentimes as I speak about the Lord being all of them together. I'll throw Jesus' name out there. But God said, God foretold all of these things. The triune God informed these ones that this was coming. He informed his people that, well, do not walk in the direction you're going, or this judgment is coming. If you flip back to the 25th chapter, you can see that even recently, even in recent days to that 28th chapter, Jeremiah had spoken the words of God. In Jeremiah 25 and verse 7, Jeremiah says, "Yet you have not listened to me," he says to the people. "You've not listened to me," says the Lord, "that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words," haven't listened, haven't applied what I'm telling you, "behold, I will send and take all the families of the north," says the Lord, "and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." That's important to know. Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. "And will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations." Fancy words for saying, I'm wrecking everybody. I'm wrecking everything. "This is what my judgment is going to be. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp." All the things of life as you know it are going to be removed from this because you've entered into idolatry, you've disobeyed my word, you've completely dismissed as a people everything that I have done to bring you along in the way that you were supposed to go. It was pain and it was discomfort and it was fear of judgment that would be upon them. And that's what we're seeing here in chapter 28. Well, it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month. This was that time. They'd come in, and Zedekiah was placed by Babylon. These people, do you suppose that they wanted this to take place? Do you suppose that they wanted this warlord to come in, take the people that were valuable to them, leave the poor that were there to deal with a ravaged country without real leadership, without real, well, independence and the like? They didn't want that. They didn't like it. If you look here in, well, I won't take you there, but in the 27th chapter, the Lord had told Jeremiah to fashion yokes, fashion wooden yokes, send them out. And evidently he was even wearing one as Jeremiah came in before these priests and all of the people. He was wearing one as an example of what was upon them. No, they didn't want this yoke that was upon them. But this man, Hananiah, he recognized, well, that they didn't want it. And he was speaking to those ones who didn't want this that was the will and the word of God. And that's why he said there in verse 2, he says, "Here's what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon." Within 2 full years. Don't you worry, this is just a temporary situation. Is that what they wanted to hear? Well, it's better than what Jeremiah was telling them was coming. If you flip back to the 25th chapter where we were just a moment ago, what did the Lord say through Jeremiah in verse 11 of Jeremiah 25? He says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now you who have read the history and know how it goes, regardless of what you think of the truth and the validity of Jeremiah's prophecy there, how long were they in captivity? 70 years. It wasn't just 2. Zedekiah got it wrong. Sometimes the truth is difficult to hear. Sometimes the truth is not what we want to hear. Sometimes it's completely undesirable. 2 versus 70, I would take 2 over 70, just leaving all other things equal. Yeah, 2 years of captivity, of people being gone, people being outside of their homes. That sounds a lot better than 70, because at my age, I'm not going to see 70 years to the end. I'm not going to. That would make me 117. I hope I don't see 117. That would mean that I would see that, and I wouldn't imagine that would take place. 2 years? 49. I should see that if the Lord doesn't come. The truth is difficult to hear. Some people won't tell their family member that they can't sing. Yeah, go compete in American Idol. Go try out. become the laughingstock of this nation, you know, of everyone watching this, because you can't sing, but you think you can. You know, sometimes the truth hurts. You, honey, you don't cook well enough to stop what you're doing and open up a restaurant and so on and so forth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but don't you want to know the truth? Rather than having a falsehood that can harm you wrapped up as being the truth and presented to you in a manner that's, well, that's maybe goes down easier. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says the word of God is living and powerful. But people don't focus on the living and powerful part. They focus on the sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, sharpness, as it's presented here in Hebrews 4:12, that's a good thing because it does what it says it's supposed to do. Piercing, penetrating, even to the division or the cleaving of the soul and spirit. Helping to separate the natural from the spiritual. Helping to separate the flesh from the new life. What's it say there? Even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Rather than focusing on the piercing and the division being a good thing, well, they look at that as being a painful thing, and sometimes it is. The word of God is sharp, and man, it can cut sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily bleed us, but as it's shaving and shaping and sharpening us, sometimes that can be irritating. Sometimes it can be rather unpleasant. Well, these things are painful if you look at the descriptions there. But I'll be honest with you. When it comes to just natural things, I want to know the truth. Even if it's uncomfortable. Let me say it this way. If I can't know the truth, I'd rather hear nothing at all. Rather than you presenting to me something of a lie, as this man did in the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. He says, oh no. No, no, folks, listen, yes, it's bad now, but don't you worry. In two years, everything's going to be brought back. And I'm sure that that went down a little bit easier for those ones who weren't willing to look for the truth, to understand the truth, to recognize who Jeremiah had been, understand what the Lord was doing in him and that the truth was indeed coming from him. Too many, well, in under the banner of Christendom today, too many of God's people don't want to hear what is perhaps the painful word of God. They don't want to hear the will of God that is perhaps uncomfortable. They want to hear that God wants them to be wealthy. They want to hear that God wants them to be healthy. People don't want to hear that God wants them to be corrected, wants them to be shaped, wants them to be sometimes a little bit uncomfortable, sometimes a lot uncomfortable. People don't want to hear that God wants them feeling awkward at times. Stepping forward, listen, I've said it a number of times. I feel awkward right now talking to 50, 40 people. Look at me, it feels awkward. I know full well the foolishness of the message preached, as you all do too. It is what it is. God wants us to step out of our comfort zone. The second time, third time I went through a fire academy, they said, be comfortable being uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. I hated hearing it, and it was so true, man. You get comfortable being uncomfortable, well, and the Lord will, he'll guide you, guard you through that discomfort. And when you become comfortable being uncomfortable, when you get into an awkward situation, it doesn't stop you. It doesn't cause you to faint. It doesn't cause you to fall back. It doesn't cause you to say, you know, I don't need to know the truth. It doesn't cause you to say, give me something that just goes down easier. No, when you're comfortable being uncomfortable, you're willing to stand with the Lord and you can deal with it. You can take it. And so it was. Hananiah knew what the people wanted to hear. Jeremiah knew what the people didn't want to hear. Jeremiah still said 70 years, folks. 70 years, it is what it is. That's the costlier message. It costs more. It will cost us more to endure 70 years. But if you were to go on into chapter 29, you recognize that the Lord says, pray for the peace of where you're going. Pray for the peace of those around you. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, it says in chapter 29, so that they may bear sons and daughters. I'll be with you in this place that is going to be so awkward for you, perhaps. So uncomfortable for you, perhaps. I will be with you there. 70 years is going to be costly for you in the natural. But if you spend the natural currency of our discomfort, if you spend the natural currency of our awkwardness, of our danger, of all of those things, and the spiritual currency of riches and glory, eternal riches. Man, they are abundant. And I would much rather spend the natural currency of my own pain, my own suffering in these days in order to reap the riches that will come. That's what Jeremiah was willing to do. 70 years, folks, 70 years. Be obedient. Reconcile yourself to the Lord. That was what his point was. I'm not going to go on, but understand this, that Hananiah went and struck the yoke that was on Jeremiah. Struck the yoke and said, no, the Lord has struck down the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord had Jeremiah go back to Hananiah and say, you destroyed that wooden yoke, and you've created an iron yoke, something that is a burden, something that is a true burden that you have put upon these people, my people. That is something that is too heavy for them to bear without me. Saints, the truth of God's word is painful. The truth of God's word is awkward. There are things in this scripture that can abrade the flesh, certainly, but there are other things that the Lord calls us to that make us feel 100% awkward, make us put ourselves out there and become reproachful in the eyes of the world, make us put ourselves out here and become, well, let's say it, hated by those in the world. It's difficult. It's painful. It's a struggle. It's a wooden yoke that's on our necks. But saints, the Lord doesn't give for us to be faint-hearted. That God's word is not for the faint-hearted. He put in you a heart of strength, a heart of the new man, so that you might bear up. Buy the truth. Do not sell it, Proverbs 23:23 says. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The truth of God's word and his will is not for the faint heart, but he does give us a strong heart. So buy it up. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Embrace the yoke of the difficulty of the truth of his word. Embrace the, well, different people, when they're running or lifting, they say, embrace the stink. Sometimes it's a little bit saltier than that, but they say, embrace the difficulty, embrace all of that, because that's how you grow. The word of God hurts sometimes. Embrace it and grow spiritually, because the Lord will enable you to do so. And he's so, so worth it. But that's where we'll stop here this evening.